Welcome to Country Fried Rock. I'm your host, Sloan Spencer. Apparently, we've been on a psychedelic folk kick. Didn't even realize it. But this new record, Water Walkers, from the Texas band Folk Family Revival, shows a distinct change from their debut record. We talk with Mason Langford, one of three brothers in the band, about recording songs that have never been played live versus road testing and then recording or mixing it all up and finding new ways to keep it fresh. They're on the road this summer, Folk Family Revival, today on Country Fried Rock.
My guest today on Country Fried Rock is Mason Langford, who along with a couple of brothers and his buddy Caleb form Folk Family Revival. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I've known the name of your band for a while due to a friend of mine who has a radio station in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I'm excited to know about this most recent record, Water Walker. Tell me a little bit about what y'all have been doing.
Well, the record took us a while to make. We had recorded Unfolding and released it in 2011. It was our first one. Started touring Steamboat, Colorado for the music fest up there and traveled down through California. We were doing all that while trying to record this record, record a little bit, go back in the studio and either say, oh, we don't like the way the song sounds and scratch it or add a new song and take out an old one or whatever. So, and we have the liberty because our manager, Jeffrey, is also our producer. So it's good because we can take time on records, but it's also probably what helped us take so long making the record, you know. But, yeah, so took a while, but it's a good thing because there's such a shift in style from the old one that I think it took some time for us to figure out what that sound needed to be and then, you know, dropping a shift on our friends and fans that soon without a little time to wait may have not been the best decision, so it's good that it took so long, and now we've just been touring a radio tour with the new record, pushing the single, If It Don't Kill You, plans shows around that, and then, you know, we just released the record, so we're about to hit the road.
It is sonically a big shift from Unfolding to Water Walker. Tell a little more about what happened in between those with the songs.
Unfolding, with that one, you know, we had just started the band. Well, the band had been in other bands before as as a group, but we had started Folk Family Revival and scratched everything we did previous and knew that this was the direction we were going to take. And all those songs had never been recorded. I mean, I had demoed them at home on a little crappy Roland digital recorder. We'd never even played them live together. So we got in the studio with Jeffrey and put those songs together in the studio and recorded them. With Water Walker, all these songs had been written while we were touring Unfolding or recording Unfolding. And then we went into the studio immediately and recorded them after we had been playing them live. So I think they had a little time to mature as far as a live sound goes. They knew how they needed to sound in a room. So when it comes to a studio, you know, that's a totally different monkey. It's a whole different process than setting up your amp and only having one shot to play the song in front of a bunch of people. You know, you actually get the time to pull them apart. So I don't know. I guess they you know, already had a life, knew what they were supposed to sound like, and we knew what we were going for. So took on this psychedelic rock sound with Caleb turning into a really good guitar player and us knowing how to play better with each other. So these songs just, they were already more worked out when we went into the studio.
We'd like to send a big thank you to our Country Fried Rock listeners for supporting Country Fried Rock alum Alan Thompson, who is recovering from a diving accident. If you'd like to donate, every dollar matters, and it goes directly to helping defray his bills. You can find that link on Country Fried Rock's Facebook or Twitter. It's a You Caring donation page. Keep your ears peeled for a few different benefit shows in the Nashville area for Alan Thompson. We love you, man. Get better soon.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. We've had an incredible year with more people finding us on the radio and our podcast than we ever imagined. Thank you all so much. Careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
This is Mason Langford with Folk Family Revival, and you're listening to Country Fried Rock.
So have those previous songs from Unfolding continued to change live, or did you kind of leave them be as that's who you were?
Yeah, that's kind of something we've always tried to do. We're really into, like, old rock and roll. I'm a big Dylan fan. We like Neil Young in the band, guys like that. And we've noticed that back then, a big deal about a live show, the reason people wanted to come see you is because they would have a totally different song than what they have on their vinyl record at home. And these days, it's all programmed and has to sound exactly like the record. And we want to not do that. We want it, when people come to our shows, we want it to sound different. So now, I mean, when we go back and listen to Unfolding once in a while, like, what was I playing there, whatever, it's just a totally different experience. Like, Come Get Me doesn't sound live anymore like it does on the record, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think we could ever go back to playing it the way we did because it's changed so much.
Let's talk a little bit specifically about the recording of Water Walker. You said that there was a lot more in letting the songs grow live before you went in, but did you all stick with the four of you playing?
We had a couple of other musicians come in and help us out, because making a record for us, I don't know if it's this way for everybody, but songs just, for some reason, they just need certain instrumentation on them, like a lap steel or a pedal steel or whatever, you know. And Caleb or I or Barrett could get away with playing a pedal steel part, but it's not something we practice regularly, so we don't have the technique. So we'll call Will Van Horn, who plays with Robert Ellis and the boys, and, you know, he played pedal steel on it. And we had our really good friend Blake Bentley, who's played with us live and is at our house all the time, and we even fool around with another little band with him. Nothing serious, but he's one of our favorite musicians. He can play anything. He played keys on the record. You know, Shelley Coley did background vocals, and we added a whole bunch of other just weird things. Like, there was one day where we had Lincoln in an ISO booth. He's our drummer. He's in an ISO booth with a big clay pot, and he was tapping on it, and Jeffrey, producer, had it ran through this bass synthesizer with all this weird delays and stuff going on. That's what you hear in the background of I Found God, the last track on the record, all that weird trippy mess. That's just Lincoln beating on a clay pot. You know, just sometimes anything can be an instrument, but, mm-hmm. you know, you got to find it sometimes. In the last record, I sang into like a little harpsichord with a mic on the other side of it for a vocal effect on Chasing a Rabbit. But, yeah, I guess the recording process for us with Jeffrey is, it's kind of laid back for the most part. There's some intense moments where, like, nobody slept or ate for a while, and somebody will have to tell Jeffrey, like, you need to eat some food or, you know, we're going to all freak out here. But, I don't know. We just get really creative with it and try to make the song sound the best it can. Like Sunshine, we had one version of it live, ended up retracking it about three times. And finally, Jeffrey was like, man, we need to pull this back, slow it down and make it dark and creepy. And we did. And that's the take we kept, you know.
Live shows are a huge part of what y'all do. What is that looking like for you right now?
It's getting great. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out what our genre is, where we should play, or what rooms or whatever. And we've been playing a lot of clubs that play top 40 country and stuff like that, and it's mm-hmm. fine, but, you know, it's sometimes damaging because people want to hear Copperhead Road and they're hearing mm-hmm. some psychedelic offbeat rock song. But I think we're finally getting in that groove and figuring out how to work it out in whatever room we're in. We can change our style enough to play a country set or a blues set or whatever to make it work. And I think now the only thing that scares people is that I don't wear shoes on stage sometimes.
And it should be said that y'all are from Texas, and so you're primarily in kind of that Texas and Oklahoma area.
Yeah.
Where the clubs do have certain expectations from a live show.
Definitely, yeah.
So you're not two-stepping.
No, but it's funny that you say that. We played Billy Bob's in Fort Worth a couple nights ago, and we've done it about three times. We've never done the big stage. We've just done the honky-tonk stage, the Thursday night thing. Yeah, you know, they have the line dance class. All these line dancers that have just been, you know, working on their chops for like an hour are like ready for the band so they can line dance, you know. And then we come out playing this weird goth timing American Standard, you know, kind of a weird bass-driven. There's a groove in there that you could dance to, but it's too slow and like swoony to do a line dance to. But they did. I mean, a lot of them pulled it off. The guy told me, he's like, man, they can line dance to anything. And I was like, okay, I hope so. We threw him a few country songs and some old rock and roll stuff that sounds like Elvis or whatever, and they figured that out.
Hey, y'all, this is Sloan Spencer, the host of Country Fried Rock. Those of y'all who listen on our podcasts, it's a quick hit of Just the Conversation. If you want the full radio program with all the songs that we talk about, ask for it on your local radio station, joining 20 other stations across the country. Get the goods at countryfriedrock.org.
This is Mason Lakeford from Folk Family Revival. Make sure and come to one of our shows and pick up our new record, Water Walker. If you can't get it at one of our shows, you can get it on iTunes or a hard copy off of Amazon.
People outside of that Texas and Oklahoma region just do not grasp the nuance of the term that is red dirt, which you are not. Outside of there, people are like, you're either country or rock. You know, they don't really get all of that. And y'all are definitely pushing the psychedelic edge with this new record. How is that translating?
It's good. I mean, it just depends. When you play a show and 10 people are really into it, and then 30 people might not be or whatever, then those 10 people are going to come up to the merch table and, you know, tell you they liked it and follow you on Facebook or whatever and come to your next show and bring some friends and slow growing. But a lot of times you got 30 people talking louder than the music. I guess it just depends what room and just who's there. You know, last night we played in Nacogdoches at the Liberty Bell. And they loved it. I mean, every single seat in the house was facing the stage, and no one was talking. We were able to even do, like, a really sad, slow, spacey song, and it was just like you could have heard a pin drop, you know. But at Billy Bob's, for instance, you got a whole bunch of people wanting the line dance, and we just can't make all those people happy. So you've got their attention for maybe 10 songs, and then you have to remember, pull it back, and do something upbeat and snappy. A lot of people are responding well. We played our release party the other day at Do-Si-Do, and we put on the kind of show that we would like to be able to put on. Candles all over the place. We had a liquid light show and a tape projector from like the 50s. And
who did your liquid light show?
I put it together. Me and my fiance started messing with it. Taylor's a photographer, and she found this photographer she really likes who uses projections. So we started researching it, and we figured out the liquid light show thing and bought it and started practicing it. But while we were playing, I had Nick Odom, who plays drums for the Bigsby's, a real good buddy of mine. And for some reason, the dude's just obsessed with weird lights. Every time he comes to the house, he stays there for like a week. He instantly sets up his lights and just like hangs out and plays music with all these weird lights going on. It's just his thing. He ran the light show, and then our buddy Eric Burns runs the tape projector because it's a weird thing. He knows how to fix pinball machines. It's just his thing. He enjoys working with mechanisms. So he brought the tape projector, and he had spent like a couple days splicing all the tape together on time with the songs and making sure everything was going to flow well with the theme of the song and the theme of the video, you know.
We just talked with a guy from California who works with someone called Mad Alchemy. The musician is Lee Gallagher and the Hallelujah, and they do kind of a psychedelic folk rock thing.
Sweet.
He's from Oklahoma originally and lives in San Francisco. That's so random that we just talked to this guy. There's something cool happening with this kind of idea around music right now.
I think so too. I mean, you know, a lot of people like the anti-pop scene. You can always, I don't want to call it anti-pop, like Katy Perry's and stuff like that. They're all getting, or trying to be trippy, but it's all still that really timed out, perfect.
Yeah, it's a little, it's a little plastic.
Yeah, that's not what trippy's about. It's got to be a little gooey, you know. So the liquid light show, yeah, I figured it out when I was researching it. You know, it was a huge part of rock and roll in the 1960s. Timothy Leary, you know, the Harvard professor who started experimenting with LSD or whatever, he introduced it at a Pink Floyd show called The Technicolor Dream. And that was the first time anybody had seen it. And that was just what rock and roll was missing at the time, you know, just something visual to keep people's attention on the stage. And just the way it like breaks everything up with the dark colors and the light colors and stuff. It's just a really cool experience. And you know, with all these new technologies coming in, when you say liquid light show, nobody even knows what you're talking about. You know, in the mid-60s, you didn't go to a show without a liquid light show. It's everywhere. The Grateful Dead, I think they still do it. Yeah, there's a guy, Steve, from Liquid Light Lab. I found his tutorial, and I think the dude gets paid like upwards of $1,000 to do it at some shows. It's incredible.
So speaking of visuals, because I'm all about like the visual and the physical aspect of music, tell me a little bit about the album cover.
Oh, yeah. That's Jonathan Barrick is the guy who painted that. He was in a band with our producer, Jeffrey, back in the day. They were called Evangeline. They have a really good record, too. But when, you know, it goes back to unfolding again, whenever we were looking for artwork for that, we had a few different ideas sent to us. And, you know, for whatever reason, we weren't liking them. They were all designed on the computer or whatever. And we called Jonathan. I gave him some ideas, like imageries that I like. We like rabbits and foxes and deers and oceans and mountains and stuff like that. And obviously none of that's in there. But he sat down and listened to the record, and his interpretation was, sounds like a guy's on a journey. You know, if you listen to the records or the lyrics closely on Unfolding, you hear a lot about storms and a lot about walking. I think I say walking like at least five times, reference a storm or thunder or something like that at least seven times. And then it's, you know, ye of little faith, traveling the world in a paper ship. So what he did on there was he put this guy, we call him the guy in the boat, because he's the guy in the boat. But, you know, he's like paddling in this like intense storm and you can't see land anywhere. It's just nothing but water and sky. And it's like a vicious storm. So on this one, Water Walker, if you've noticed, the boat's in the same position that it is on Unfolding. And the guy's got this huge beard, hair like he's been on this journey forever, and ship's like wrecked. And you can see like a little house in the background with the lights on. And he's kind of come up into this little cove, and his boat's sinking, so he's, like, attempting his last step of faith, you know, to, like, walk on water to get to that boat. And it's kind of continuation that we want to have throughout the records is this guy's endless journey. Maybe one day he finds what he's looking for or whatever.
I love that there is that, not just continuity, but there's an intent for it to continue whether it does or not.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know, because, I mean, we don't know, like, right, at what point to call it quits. It's inevitable at some point the band has to end. I would hope that one day we're not like Lynyrd Skynyrd, where we're all dead except for one of our kids, you know, and we're still calling it Folk Family Revival. It could happen. That's like the Beatles for me. We love the Beatles, and, you know, Yoko broke up the band or whatever, and I'm like, dude, if Yoko wouldn't have broke up the band, they'd still be going, and you wouldn't like them anymore. You love them now, you know.
I'm your host, Sloan Spencer. You can keep in touch with us on Facebook, but I really like Twitter, where we are at Country Fried Rock, ending with R-O-K. And if you want to see pictures of my shoes, my dog, and my lunch, stop by Instagram. But whatever way you like to hang out, stop by and say hey.
This is Mason Langford with Folk Family Revival. Check us out on folkfamilyrevival.com.
How did y'all end up connecting with Rock Ridge Music?
One of our previous managers, Katie, who used to work with Magnolia Red, she was working with this artist named Levi Weaver. He's awesome. I think she was shopping for a, you know, label for him, and went over to Rock Ridge. We were looking in other areas, and the lady, Cynthia, who works with the company, was just looking at Katie's roster or whatever and saw that she worked with us, and she was a big fan. For some reason, I don't know where she had seen us, but Katie was just like, hey, I got good news, you know, was calling this company, and they like your music, you know, and told us the whole story, and we were like, that's cool. And we looked at their roster and figured out they were booking John Foreman of Switchfoot has another band called Fiction Family with the guy Sean. He's in Nickel Creek. And we love that band. We grew up listening to Switchfoot. And John Foreman's four EPs, Fall, Spring, Winter, and Summer, are still some probably one of my favorite collections of music that's ever been made. Yeah, it's really cool. Anyways, I was like, well, this is cool. And we had a meeting with them after we had had a meeting with Clay Newman, who is with Vision, and I think he was distributing through 30 Tigers. After the whole meeting, we were like, you know, this is more, Rock Ridge is more indie rock and roll versus just hardcore Texas country, so that'll spread us out a little bit. So we went with them, and then we ended up co-managing with Clay, so we kind of have the best of both worlds there.
There's so many different arrangements that work for different bands, and I think everybody is like, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah. You know, every time they hear something new, they're like, oh, that's a good, maybe we can make it. It's always interesting, because I've never heard the same story twice.
Right, yeah. There's no method to this, you know. It's still very, like, at least the way it's going right now is still maturing. We're starting to figure out how bands can actually, like, maybe make some money doing this. And that's not what it's about, but that's been the kicker, like, why you see a lot of really good bands not last.
I sincerely hope for some sort of sustainability on some level with music for people, because there's great music out there, but it's almost impossible without these creative kinds of ways of approaching it.
Definitely. That's like, you'll notice a lot of musicians will open up a bar or something on mm-hmm. the side that they can kind of do both at the same time. They know they're not going to, you could just easily sell out and let people write songs for you and just be the face of a record label, but that's just not why people want to do this. We want to do it because we want to be creative. And unfortunately, those aren't the people who make a lot of money from it. But mm-hmm. I think it's growing into that. Everybody's still trying to figure it out, but it's getting there.
Tell me a little bit about what tour looks like this summer.
We want to try to find a way to bring that setup on the road with us.
Yeah.
We've also written a whole new record that we want to start recording. The band has talked about finding studios on the road and like set up a show and then go into a studio and record a song and then play another show and go in the studio and record a song. And
yeah.
But there's talks of getting on a train and going to LA and playing shows on stops along the way there. And we've talked a little bit about relocating for like a month to Colorado and touring from that area. There's all these great ideas. We're planning on being on the road for a couple months, mm-hmm. solid at least, here and there. We have the ability to play as much as we want because we're all brothers and we do this 100%. And we all have girlfriends or whatever, and they know that we're out there with family and we're not being idiots. There's none of this stupid hostility that goes on.
Right. Well, and it's tough. Anyone who is in a relationship with someone who's on the road a lot for any reason, not everybody's cut out for that.
Right, yeah. A lot of musicians that are out there are like, you know, you can't bring your lady out on the road to do this or whatever. And with us, we're like, yeah, why not? You know, why can't you? Since we're all family anyway, it's fine.
Mason Langford of Folk Family Revival, thank you so much and looking forward to catching y'all on tour sometime this summer.
Totally. Thanks for the call. It was a good time.
Take it easy.
All right, you too.
CountryFriedRock.org. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Our 2015 bed music is from Drivin' and Cryin's debut album, Scarred But Smarter. Got a great band you want to hear on Country Fried Rock? The best thing to do is tweet us at Country Fried Rock. That's Country Fried R-O-K.
You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes. Just search Country Fried Rock. Country Fried Rock radio programs are distributed to public radio through the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. Our Country Fried Rock stinger is from Steve Soto and the Twisted Hearts.
Ever he been helping us some Country Fried Rock.
Hey y'all, it's Sloan Spencer. Thanks so much for finding all these new old episodes of Country Fried Rock. I've got something completely different available these days called Sleep with Rock Stars. And it all started from a listener comment back in the very early days of Country Fried Rock who said, you know, I slow these down to 75% and fall asleep to them. And I was like, well, over the years I started thinking about it and I recently started Sleep with Rock Stars. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, and you can find it at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.